chickens in the houses, they got chickens in the trees. Chicken in the pots, the martyr walk the Petalumis. Out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Now Marvin got the started, sold me my first hen. Now I got 4 and 20, and 24 more again. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Chicken in the morning, it's chicken in the night. Weren't for chicken, Petaluma never would have reached its height. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, smart talk about food, wine, farming, and all kinds of yummy things here on KRCB for 22 years. It's Michelle Anna Jordan live in the studio with great guests. Thank you for joining us. I hope you've had a good weekend. Weird weather, huh? Really strange. As far as I know, we didn't have any hail in Sebastopol, but boy, we certainly got it in Santa Rosa, Healdsburg, Sonoma, Windsor, I think. Sebastopol always misses out on the snow and the hail. I wish we'd had some. Anyway, interesting weather. Just today, we've had almost everything, including pretty bright sun. I love weather. It's interesting. It's fun. It's nature. We're going to be talking a lot about cheese this evening. The Cheese Festival is coming up towards the end of the month. But first, I want to tell you something, and I don't mean to be self-promotional, but it's really the only way I can talk about this subject, because I wrote a book about meatballs, More Than Meatballs. There is a new edition out. It has 10 or 11 new recipes. I was forced to include Swedish meatballs, which I did not in the first edition because I didn't think the world needed another Swedish meatball recipe, but apparently it did because it's included by request. Anyway, Thursday, March 9th is National Meatball Day. And in my column that comes out in the Press Democrat on Wednesday, I talk about meatballs and I give two pretty classic recipes from Europe. One is what is called Italian wedding soup. And I find it really interesting. Most people think that the name has to do with the fact that it must have been served at traditional Italian weddings, and that's not the case. The translation comes into wedding, but it's more about the marriage of flavors, the marriage of either the spinach or chard that is in the soup, the nice, rich homemade stock, and the very little meatballs. So that's one of the recipes, and the other recipe is the avgo limoni with kefteres, which is a Greek recipe, the lemon and egg soup with little tiny meatballs in it. And then the meatball recipe that I give is really nice for spring, because herbs are beautiful right now, the herbs that are just coming up in our gardens. So I do my fresh herb meatballs. So, you know, nothing like National Meatball Day to celebrate something almost everybody loves. And in the book, there are lots of recipes that have no meat in them. it is called More Than Meatballs. So I have arancini, I have vegetable fritters, I have parsnip fritters, which were a favorite of our 22nd and 24th president, which was Grover Cleveland. He wasn't our 23rd president. He served two terms, but one term as 22nd president and one term as 24th president. And he was famous in part for his parsnip meatballs. So the music tonight is going to be meatball music, including something from a Little Richard, which is just lovely. I just heard this yesterday on Steve Gardner and John Ash's show, The Good Food Hour on KSRO. Just such a wonderful show. So thanks very much to both of them for having me on to talk about meatballs. So we're shifting the topic to cheese. And cheese, you know, cheese are almost always a part of meatballs, unless you're doing, say, Southeast Asian meatballs, and then you don't see cheese. But otherwise, European meatballs, United States meatballs, almost always there's some cheese. But we have Myra. Did I say it right?
You did.
Yay. Myra Murphy from Capabunga, who has this fabulous container called The Cheese Vault, and it's really wonderful. We're going to be talking about that, but also about a number of the other things that her company, Capabunga, makes. And we also have Rick LaFranchi. Did I say it right?
You did.
From Nicasio Cheese, yes. Producers of great cheese. And the Cheese Festival is coming up. It's the last weekend.
Exactly.
Yeah, last weekend.
It ends March 26th, I think.
Yeah, last weekend in March. And I will. You guys are both going to be there on Sunday?
We are.
And I will be there on Sunday. I'm doing a butter demonstration workshop.
Yum.
So, you know, and cheese is halfway to butter.
Yes.
So there you go. So let's start with the actual cheeses we have there. Tell us about Nicasio. When did you guys get started in the industry?
Well, we've been in the dairy business in Nicasio since 1919 on our current ranch, and over the years, the North Bay dairy industry has changed quite dramatically.
Yes.
From what it originally was, and we felt that in the early 2000s that we needed to add a value-added product to our mix to ensure the long-term sustainability of our ranch. And so what we did was we went back to our roots in Switzerland and did some research back there, met a cheesemaker, Maurizio Lorenzetti. And after spending some time with him, knew that a couple of things. One, we wanted him to help us get started, and two, we wanted to make cheeses similar to what he was making in Switzerland. Mm-hmm. So
now, before that, from 1919 on, were you producing milk?
Yes, we were a conventional milk producer.
Okay.
Up until, I guess, until 2006, and then we transitioned to organic at that time. And
who did you sell your milk to?
Well, currently we sell our milk to Clover. Over the years, we were a challenge producer for many years. Then we were with the California Gold. And then from there to Dairy Farmers of America, and most recently with Clover for the last 15 years or so.
And Clover does such a fabulous job.
They do. They're a great company. Yeah.
So what cheeses are you making now?
What we have here tonight is four of our cheeses. We have our Foggy Morning, which is a fromage blanc style. We have our Locarno, which is our brie. We have our Tomino, which is a lightly washed, soft ripening cheese. And then lastly, we have our San Geronimo, which is a raclette style cheese.
Raclette style. Yum.
Yes.
They all sound actually delicious. And I've had your cheeses many times, and they are quite delicious.
Oh, thank you.
Where are they? What's your distribution?
Well, we're available certainly throughout the Greater Bay Area and then in pockets around the country. Here in the North Bay, we're at all the local stores.
And at the Cheese Festival, what will you be doing?
A number of things. There's actually a couple tours at our creamery and our ranch, one on Friday, one on Saturday. And then I know Saturday night there's some events that we're associated with, and there's, gosh, I'd have to look at the list to see what it is.
You can look at your notes if you want.
Okay. Yeah, Saturday night there's a cheese and cocktail reception. Friday evening there's actually an Ultimate Best Bite, which is a competition between with cheesemongers and restaurateurs kind of working together to come up with the best bite of the competition. So that'll be a fun event. Saturday night, then there's actually two wine and dine dinners with cheesemakers and wineries paired up at a couple different restaurants. One is the Cornerstone, Park 21 at the Cornerstone.
It's Bruce Reisman's restaurant out at Cornerstone, Sonoma.
Yeah. And then the other one is Sweet D.
Sweet D?
Yeah, by the Girl and Fig.
Oh, okay, okay.
And so there's events going on there, and there'll be five different cheeses presented at each of those.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, that's Saturday. And then all day Saturday is their seminars mm-hmm. that they're conducting. And then Sundays there's a Bubbles and Brunch. And then there's, of course, the marketplace, the cheese tasting and marketplace,
right.
which is
marketplace.
A big deal. And then, like I said, all day Saturday, there's like a at least a half a dozen different seminars. One
and the seminars are taking place on the farms, right? Are some
no,
of them on the – oh, they're not?
I believe they're taking place at both the Sheridan, Sonoma County, and Cowgirls Creamery facility in Petaluma.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it changes every year.
Yes, it
does. Okay, and you'll be involved in some
seminars.
Of that?
We're not really doing too much with that, but we're very active in all the other elements of the of the event over the course of the weekend.
I'm really curious about something because we've undergone such a remarkable change this last year. We were in a drought year. I mean, you can say from 4 to 7 years, I mean, below average rainfall. And now suddenly, you know, the apocalypse from the sky.
Right.
So how has that impacted a small cheesemaker like you, like Nicasio?
At this point, it really hasn't been anything extraordinary.
Okay.
The only nice thing about it is you feel comfortable that you're going to have enough water to get through the season with no problems, which the last few years there has been concerns about having enough water. So,
did you have to truck in water?
We did not,
but
there's others who have.
Yes.
And we were fortunate at times it was getting low, and you certainly had to be very careful. You couldn't waste anything. But no, we were lucky in that regard. And so now there's an abundance.
Yes. And how big is your, if this is the right question, how big is your herd?
Our herd. We milk about 450 Holstein cows.
Yeah. And the cheese factory is right there?
The cheese factory is on the same property, but it's about a mile from the actual dairy operation to the cheese creamery.
And is that something that people can visit? Can they call you and make an appointment?
We're open every day from 10 till 5. We have a creamery store that actually allows the customer to look in on our cheese making process while they're there.
And do you happen to make butter?
We do not.
You do not. Okay.
Yeah.
Always looking for local butter makers. Okay, we're going to take a little musical break here on Mouthful, and we'll be right back with Myra.
Nipping at your nose, some tremendous atrocity has brought you to your knees. Come with us, we'll sail the seas and cheese.
Welcome to Dorina's Central. May I take your order, please?
Yeah, I want. Do
you want Bill Sperm with that?
Primus was first, the Descendants were second. Two of the shortest musical pieces you will find on YouTube or anywhere else, and fun. And thanks very much to Anthony for finding them. Anthony, if you want to turn on your mic and join in with any questions or anything, you feel free to do so, okay?
I will.
Okay, excellent. Okay, we're going to bring Myra in, but Rick, I don't want you to... I want you to be part of this, too, in that talk about, if you want to... what these containers, how these containers might work for your cheeses. I think, judging from some people's refrigerators that I've seen, there's a lot still to be learned about how to store cheeses and how to keep cheeses at an optimum level after you get them home. And I just love the Cheese Vault.
Well, thanks so much.
And it wasn't your first. It wasn't your first product.
No, we actually originally invented a cap to reseal a bottle of wine, which is actually our wine. And when we got the first prototype of that, we realized that everybody who drank wine needed to have one, because you can lay an open bottle on its side and it doesn't leak, and it fits in the fridge door.
You don't have that cork sticking out, so you won't close the
Exactly. We never think to change
door.
The shelves on the, the fridge. We just keep trying to jam it in the door. So that's how we started. we quickly, when we started selling them, we sold them to wineries who put their own logos on them because we were from the wine business. And
well, in what capacity?
Well, my husband and my partner was the VP of Sales and Marketing at a winery, Deloach Winery.
Oh, okay.
And we started our first business in 2001 as negociants, making our own wine.
Okay.
And sold that in 06 and worked that for 3 years. And then in 09, 10, we started making wine again.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
And are you still doing that?
No, we actually had to fish where the fish are, to be honest, because the Capabunga really just took off with a blast. So we did make wine up until 2013. So it's called Rua. So, yeah.
And I know that Capabunga, where was it? I was at Segacio.
Right, exactly.
And they have like dozens of different caps.
Yes.
All these different sayings on them and that
Absolutely.
Sort of thing.
Well, you know, the first year we sold to wineries, but then we realized we weren't even getting close to the people who drank wine, enough people that drank wine. So in 2012, we took it to the New York Gift Show, and the rest is history. But we took fun sayings, things that said me time and I earned it, and those have just kind of, the sayings just keep coming. You just drink a glass of wine and keep coming up with more.
So. Sure.
Yeah. So then after doing that for about a year, people kept saying what's next. Our retailers kept saying what's next. And so champagne, of course, we knew that it was a difficult, most people felt that they had to drink the whole bottle, and because they couldn't
reseal. That's a real issue. And I have to tell you something, even though it's not the cap, the regular cap isn't designed for sparkling wine.
Right.
We used it.
Right. And we did too before Cap of
Bubbles. It was okay.
Yes, we did too. But the problem is, once you take it out of your fridge or your ice bath, the Capabunga is going to pop off because of the pressure in the wine. So in the sparkling wine or champagne.
So you came up with something.
So we came up with Kappa Bubbles, and Kappa Bubbles looks from the outside like a Capabunga.
A little bigger.
A little bigger, absolutely. But when you turn it over, you'll see there's a screw cap inside. Mm-hmm. And what the screw cap attaches to is a little collar that clips around the top of your neck of the champagne bottle. And it just basically screws right on and keeps the pressure in. And the great thing is, we say it makes your bubbles last up to a week, but people love to tell us, well, I got 3 weeks on them.
What is wrong with them that they open a bottle of champagne and it lasts 3 weeks? Oh, my gosh.
Exactly.
Three days maximum.
Right. But it's nice, you know, if you're having something like a brunch and you've got leftovers, or you have you have a party and you have a number of bottles open
Absolutely.
At a time, it's a nice way to not have to throw them away. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So then, you know, out of that, then we're, what else would, you know, people need who drink wine? And we always like the idea of wine glass identifiers, but the problem with the ones that were out there, we felt, was when you swirled a glass of wine, you would hear a clank, clank, you know, and that really kind of irked me, like nails on a chalkboard.
Uh-huh.
And then there were other ones that stuck to the glass, but they invariably fell off. So we came up with one that sticks to the base of your wine glass. If it's a stem wine glass, you can write on it with a ballpoint pen. So even if you can't remember your saying that you had, like most likely to ask for more, you can write your name on there. And the idea is you won't forget your glass.
And those come in a pack of like six or eight.
They come in a pack of six.
Something.
And then just recently we realized there's a lot of people who are drinking out of stemless wine glasses.
Yes.
So we just came out with ones for stemless
wine
glasses.
Oh, really? How do those work?
So they basically just sit on the lip of actually can grab them.
Oh, okay, great.
They sit on the lip of the glass. So they'll work on a cocktail, they'll work on a beer glass, they'll work on a, pretty much a water glass, soda. Yeah. So, yeah, that's been kind of fun.
Excellent.
Coming up with more fun phrases as well.
And then,
along the way.
Is there anything in the works?
There's actually two things in the works, because we're 2 weeks away from the International Housewares Show in Chicago, where all of the items you'll see in your kitchen are, you know, exhibited. So, you know, some of the big names like OXO and Calphalon will have booths the size of houses, you know.
Well, yes.
We won't have that size, but we have a booth there every year, and it's usually when people launch something that they're hoping it's going to be the next big thing.
Sure.
And yeah, so we have two things we're working on. I can't really say too much yet. One is kitchen related, and one is beverage related.
Oh.
So, yeah. So maybe I'll come back and tell you later when we get it all launched.
You know, what I'm hoping for to go along with your cheese vault, hoping for a butter box.
Right. Well, you know, have you ever tried the butter in the cheese vault? I have never done it, but I would think it would work pretty well.
Oh, I'm sure it would work fine.
Yes.
But mine was always filled with cheese. So I was going to have to get a second one if I wanted to
do
butter. But, yeah, I'm just, you know, at the Cheese Festival on Sunday, I'll be doing a butter tasting and make your own butter.
Well, I'm Irish. I can never get enough butter.
Yeah, I'm Irish too. Not quite as Irish as you. Or maybe I am. I'm waiting for my ancestry information to come. But a company, you probably know them, Chefin?
Yes, absolutely.
Chefin.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They have donated a huge box of their butter makers to me. I asked them if I could work something out with them. And it was so complicated to sell them to me wholesale. It was so much paperwork that they just gave them to me.
That's great.
So, and it's really great. I found it in this markdown. I got it for like $2 because people in this cookware store didn't really know what it was. And it's really interesting. I think it has two moving parts. But what you do is you pour a cup of cream in,
mm-hmm.
and they have you leave the cream at room temperature for 6 to 8 hours. So you pour the cream in and screw the lid on, and then after 6 to 8 hours, you shake it for 3 minutes. And so we're going to start the workshop with a butter tasting. We're going to do local boutique small batch butters, including that fabulous sheep milk butter from Haverton Hill, which is just so delicious. We'll do a goat butter. We'll do two or three cow's milk butters from the area. And so we'll do this little butter tasting, and then everybody will reach under their chair, however I have it set up, and haven't decided on the music yet, but I'm going to get a 3-minute song, and everybody will hold their butter maker over their head and rock out as hard as they can for 3 minutes, and then boom, it turns into butter.
Right, and so that's like a little bit like ice cream with the ice
sort of,
in it, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and then what you do is, if you're doing this at home, and I'll figure it out for people there, you pour out the buttermilk that's left behind, then you pour in a little cold water and shake it to rinse it. And then the cap is a ramekin.
Oh, that's...
And so you open it up and you put the butter into the little ramekin, and one cup of cream fits perfectly into this ramekin, and you make salted or unsalted butter, whichever one you want. I prefer salted, but whatever you want. And you have this fabulous butter. And so many people, I've noticed it especially around Thanksgiving, the winter holidays, you know, they have a recipe and maybe they need 3 tablespoons of heavy cream. And then the heavy cream sits in the refrigerator until it goes bad, and then they throw it away. So I think everybody should have this little butter maker.
I'm getting one.
Yeah, for when they have cream. Well, I'll make sure you get one.
Absolutely.
So I'll be doing that at the Cheese Festival. And there's just not, if you have great milk, and we have such great milk and cream, I mean, we surpass national standards throughout California. And what Clover does, I mean, we have some of the best milk in the country. So you shouldn't be throwing away your cream. You should be making butter. And it's just so delicious. Do we have another song?
We do.
We do. Here we go.
On top of spaghetti, all covered with cheese. My meatball when somebody sneezed, it rolled off the table and onto the floor. Then somebody kicked it and it rolled out the door. Much.
was as tasty. So if you eat spaghetti all covered with cheese, hold on to your meatball.
Yes, indeed. That was Little Richard on top of spaghetti. You can find it on YouTube. And thanks very much to Steve Garner and Mike DeWald for turning me on to that version. I had not heard it. And I have to say, Lark is sitting here at my feet. And Lark likes to be spoken to. She likes me to tell her stories. And she likes me to sing to her. She doesn't care that I don't really have a great singing voice. But I often sing her on top of spaghetti. She just, she loves it. I'm waiting for the next training session, and I'm going to attempt to, she has to pass the test first, but I'm going to try to get her into the therapy dog program, because, you know, they have that great program called Pause for Reading,
mm-hmm.
where school kids who are maybe having trouble reading and are maybe a little shy or hesitant to read in class, they have in libraries in local schools where they go and they read to a dog.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And she just she if you tell her a story, and it doesn't matter what language it is or what the story is, she just loves that. So I'm thinking that she would probably be a really good candidate for Pause for Reading. So, she likes that song a lot. I sing her that. It's from when I was like a tiny girl, probably before I was born, actually. How much is that doggy in the window?
Oh, yes, right.
Mm-hmm. And then the lullaby from Rosemary's Baby.
That's quite a combo.
I happen to know that one. Okay, we're going to talk about cheese storage. What to do, what not to do. Should you wrap it in aluminum foil? No. Should you wrap it in plastic wrap? We'll find out. So, Rick, what should people not be doing when they get their cheese home?
Well, I believe once you got it home and open that you definitely should not wrap it back up in plastic again. It can go in Ziploc bags, work very effectively, I found, really hold the quality of the cheese. Uh-huh. Otherwise, wax paper, cheese paper.
And cheese paper you can get in places like cheese shops.
Right.
And places
and
with really good cheese counters.
On their mm-hmm. counter yeah. as well, mm-hmm. yeah. And then one of the better items I've seen is the vault, actually, mm-hmm. because it allows airflow around the cheese, yet protects it and keeps it cold. And it's mainly, I mean, you don't want to put it back in the refrigerator with nothing on it because it'll just absorb whatever's in that refrigerator.
I remember yeah. being traumatized as a child because I drank some milk, and I don't think it had been closed properly, and it tasted like bad watermelon. So it will really, dairy products will absorb flavors
Absolutely.
If they're not protected. Yeah.
They're a product of their environment.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're a living product.
Yes.
So. Yes, they are. Yeah.
And that is a big consideration at a cheese processing plant, too, isn't it? You have to keep it clean in such a way that there aren't things for
you
it
certainly
to...
You have to have a controlled environment.
Like you don't want the horses next door.
Right, exactly. Yeah. No, you have to be very careful about the atmosphere within the aging room and mm-hmm. make sure that it's not in any way compromised by, like, putting a blue cheese in the same room with a fromage blanc or a bloomy rind, which is a white rind cheese, could cause those to become blue cheeses, you know, or they'll reflect the molds and stuff. So you need to be careful with that. Yeah.
So why don't you tell us, because the cheese welt has several elements that work together to keep the cheese as it should be.
So, well, from hearing the history of our business, we had worked in food-grade silicone for all of our previous products. And so we were very fond of silicone.
Can we tell people exactly what silicone is?
It's a form of rubber.
Okay.
It's not a plastic. You know, there's no BPA or anything.
Is it from rubber? Is it made?
It's a type of rubber.
Oh, okay.
I'm not the technical whiz, but believe that's what my understanding is. So, but the nice thing about silicone is how it doesn't let smells out or in. And so that's the number one first thing. So when you have some cheese in the fridge, the first sign you know something's going wrong is when you open it up and that's all you can smell in the fridge because they've really taken over. So so the cheese vault is a small box, about 6x4, I think it is. And in the base, there is some ridges that... The reason for the ridges are when a cheese is sitting just on its own, it can tend to just get some moisture on the cheese, and so when it's put in the plastic, if it's put in plastic wrap, the cheese will tend to sweat and you know, get some moisture on the cheese. So the problem with that is when it sits on the cheese, then that is what then the next time you unwrap your cheese from the plastic, it's starting to feel slimy. And then the slime is what the next time you go will start the molding process.
Right.
So with the cheese vault, these ridges mean that the moisture on the cheese is not sitting on the cheese. It kind of runs away from the cheese and settles in the ridges below away from the cheese. So the air is able to circulate around the cheese. So that's kind of a key part of it. Then there's a divider that slot. There's little kind of lines that where the divider slots in, which means that you can put two pieces of cheese in the vault together,
and they're not going to taste like each other.
No, that's the idea, because the way the divider is shaped, it's kind of a little kind of U shape, and it slots into the lid of the vault, which means that it's a totally separate chamber from the other cheese. So, for example, you mentioned a blue cheese. If you wanted to put a blue cheese on one side and put another type of cheese, because blue is very famous for jumping molds, right?
Sure.
So if you put another piece of cheese, it actually doesn't really know the other piece of cheese is there for a while. So that's kind of a nice added benefit. And then the lid is designed with kind of, how would you describe those, arches a little bit?
Yeah,
kind of reverse arches, really. And the idea for that is if there's any condensation that comes off the cheese, it will roll to this to the side and not land back on the cheese. That's kind of, I wouldn't say it's over-designed, but we've never really seen condensation go up that much, you know, but we were just covering all bases, so.
Oh, because I thought it was to fit
with
the divider.
That is part of it.
But it has
but
another
originally,
function as
yes,
well.
Yes, interesting. Exactly.
Interesting.
And then the final piece of the puzzle is that the ends of the vault, the narrower ends, are both treated in a way that you can write with a ballpoint pen the name of the cheese that you put in the vault and the date you stored it. So the good thing about that is when you have it thrown in the in the drawer, you kind of tend to forget that it's there. And then with this, as soon as you open the fridge, you see, I had that blue cheese a week ago and I need to eat that. So you're constantly reminded when you open up the fridge. Yeah.
Okay. And then you can just wash it off.
Exactly. Yeah. Just soapy water or, absolutely.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. That's a
has this won design awards at like the fancy food shows and stuff?
Well, we actually
it certainly should.
Yeah, we actually don't exhibit at fancy food because they tend to show more foods. But we have won a Gourmet Retailer is a, a popular magazine in the industry, and we won a best new product in the housewares category for 2016. So that was a thrill.
Great. Congratulations!
And you know we got a wonderful write up from Oprah magazine, and that didn't hurt either.
And weren't you in Wall Street Journal recently?
We were in the Boston Globe.
Oh, Boston Globe.
Yes,
okay.
And I think we have another cheese magazine. Well, hopefully, they're going to write about it. And Press Democrat locally. And we continue to get press about it. So it's as far as I know, there isn't another reusable way to store artisan cheese. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's
And it's environmentally friendly. You don't have anything to throw away,
right,
which is really great. And I'll be writing about it on my website.
Oh, wonderful.
As we get a little tiny bit closer to the Cheese Festival, I'll probably do 4 different stories on the website.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
This will be one of them.
Oh.
Because it really is. It's just a fabulous device.
Well, I know we started with one, and we eat a lot of cheese, and it just every time I look in the fridge, there's either 2 or 3 going in the fridge and one on top, and depending on how much we have. So,
And
they stack on each other, which, you know, some people say if they eat a lot of cheese, you know, do you have a larger one? And the reason we didn't do a larger one is because most people's fridge, your space is at a prime.
Sure.
And so,
yeah, it's a great size.
Yeah. So then you can stack and you're not taking up, you know, with one piece of cheese in a large bowl.
Exactly.
So
now, Is this better? And I'm going to sneeze.
Bless you. Bless you. Oh, my goodness.
God, only 3? I'd say, you know, spring is on its way. It's usually been like 7. That was only 3. Amazing. Is there a particular style of cheeses that this is better for, or can you pretty much do anything you're going to store?
That's a great question. We recommend it for firmer cheeses, but I have had people say, well, can I put my softer cheese in it? And so one of the things I'll say is you can nearly put a really runny cheese that's been sitting out for a while. You can put it in the fridge for, you know, 10 or 15 minutes, firm it up a little bit, and then put it in the vault. That's kind of a good workaround.
Uh-huh.
The only reason we kind of say that about firm cheese is because of these ridges. If you have a soft cheese, it's going to sink into the ridges. You know? So if you can just, you know, put it on the rind, it'll still work.
I've used it for both harder cheeses. I've used it for a lot of softer cheeses. And for me, it's worked just fine.
And we have too, so.
Excellent.
I don't want people to be spending forever washing, you know, scrubbing away. So we just put that in as a caveat.
Well, you know what happens when you, if you put in a runnier cheese and then you put it in the fridge, it firms right up.
Right.
And it pulls off. It doesn't stick to the ridges.
Oh, good.
It hasn't in my experience yet.
Good.
So,
good. And you know, it is dishwasher safe, but I tend to like, you know.
Yeah, I've washed it by
hand.
It's
like a trip down memory lane cleaning out my cheese vault.
The thing we haven't done yet today is taste cheeses. Mm. And they're sitting over there all ready for tasting.
Smelling wonderfully.
Why don't we do that?
Okay.
Why don't you tell us what we're going to taste?
Well, first we're going to start with our Foggy Morning, which is our fromage blanc style cheese.
And I have to tell you, that wins my prize for one of the best names. Ever since I first heard of it, Foggy Morning, yes, that is just a great name.
I love the name.
And it was named by my mother and my niece.
And it's a fromage blanc style.
And it's it's actually our most successful cheese from the standpoint of winning honors. It's won 5 national awards. Cooking Light magazine named it one of the top tasting cheeses a couple years ago. And just most recently, it won a Good Food Award in the recently concluded competition in San Francisco.
Oh, congratulations.
So we're proud of it. And, it's been an interesting cheese. It was the first cheese we made. And and it's kind of unique in the character. It's got the texture of a chev, a goat cheese, but it's a cow cheese.
Right.
And so it's not quite as tangy as a goat cheese might be, but yet has enough kind of bump to it to create interest, as well as the way I thought the name Foggy Morning was very appropriate for this cheese, because it feels like when you taste it, like that when you walk outside on a foggy morning, that first breath of air that you get, you know, it's kind of that frosty feel to it.
It's really a beautiful cheese.
Well, thank you.
Really.
Yeah.
You're right about the difference between the tang of a goat compared to
Oh, yeah. There's quite a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You ready for another one?
Sure.
Okay, next up is our Locarno. This is one of our newer cheeses. It's just been with us now for about a little over a year, and it's our kind of version of brie. But it's kind of unique brie in the sense that it doesn't ripen uniformly throughout the paste. It ripens from the inside of the rind to the middle. So you develop cream on both insides of the rind from the top and the bottom. But the middle is chalky.
Uh-huh.
And so what you'll get with that is you get kind of a multi-layered experience. And that with that, so you're tasting, you know, the cream, then the chalk, then the rind. And so you get kind of a combination of different flavors. And this has been to date, a cheese that's been real popular, has been very well received, and I really enjoy it. And of all the cheeses we make, it's my personal favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, it might be mine, too. Mm. It's really delicious.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Dangerously delicious.
Yeah. That is a fine. And Locarno?
Locarno.
Locarno.
Locarno, named after the biggest town near our ancestral village of Maggia.
Oh, so, okay.
And it just has a nice, easy ring to it.
Yeah. And in what size are these two cheeses sold retail?
The Foggy Morning comes in 3-inch rounds, about 6.5 ounces to the piece. And the Locarno actually comes in, well, two ways. It comes in an 8-inch wheel, mm-hmm. which weighs about 2.5 to 3 pounds. Mm-hmm. Everything's random weight. And then it also comes now, we've just recently brought it out in 3-inch rounds as well.
Okay.
So, and that's a real nice way to have it because every wedge is pretty much the same because mm-hmm. they all have the same characteristics.
That is absolutely delicious. Mm-hmm.
Well, and the rind as well.
Okay. Yes, the rind, every bit of it. Every bit of it is okay. really fabulous.
Good. And you ready for the Tomino?
Sure. I'm just trying to think, what would I want to drink with that one? I think I'd want a really dry, sparkling wine with that one.
I think that'd be an interesting idea. I know Foggy Morning pairs really nicely with a cake bread Sauvignon Blanc.
Mm-hmm.
I've had that before. And and this Tomino now is a little different. This is also our other new cheese from 2016, and it's a lightly washed, soft ripening. So it's washed a couple times in the bee linen brine solution, which if you look at the rind, you'll see it's kind of got a, mm-hmm. kind of the gold or the orange of a mm-hmm. washed rind along with the white of the bloomy rind. So it's not as strong as if it was a pure washed rind,
right.
nor as mellow if it was just a bloomy. But it's got a kind of a funk to it that that I find enjoyable, and I like mm-hmm. it. And it's got like a chewy
a nutty,
rind
a nutty
to
kind
it.
Of component to
yes.
it.
Yes.
Nutty and something resembling sunlight and hay, which...
right.
That's, mm. I mean...
No, I get the hay thing.
The hay definitely...
I'm looking for the sunlight these days, though.
there's something sunny about it to me. But the hay is really strong to me, and in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot.
Well, so, and that comes in 3-inch rounds as well, but a little bit heavier, about 8 ounces per piece.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And then the last one we have is our San Geronimo. And this cheese is our raclette.
And we should tell people who don't know what raclette is.
Raclette is a kind of a French / Swiss style cheese that's great for melting. It's a tradition in
right.
Switzerland and France where
you can get real
cut the wheel in half. It comes in a 12-inch wheel. Cut it in half, put a heating element over the top, cut half, and melt it. And basically just scrape it off on over there. It's a common practice to have it with boiled potatoes.
Right.
Here I've seen it with toast and pickles. It was actually
it's
quite good.
Good yeah.
I know that Doralise Handel,
mm-hmm.
you know Doralise?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
She either just did or is just going to do a raclette
I
night.
I saw that, yes. And actually Doralise helped us with some of the cheese vault evolution.
Doralise is just so fabulous. She's just, she knows so much about so many things and has such... She has such great enthusiasm, and I would have gone. I think it was might have been this Friday.
Where was it? She was doing
it. Was at Relish?
At Relish, right?
And mm-hmm. I wasn't driving yet, thanks to my sprained ankle.
Right.
So
I think it's quite popular.
We'll get her to do it again.
We were just in LA, and we went into a cheese store that you might know called Milk Farm,
mm-hmm.
and they have raclette parties on a regular basis, and apparently they're absolutely mobbed. So
really,
I think it's quite a popular.
Mm-hmm.
That is so great. I always think back to when Laura Chanel wrote her book on American cheese,
mm-hmm.
and think of her. She told the story. She was standing in maybe Bloomingdale's or Macy's in New York City, and it was the height of the fat phobia with these beautiful cheeses. She couldn't give them away. It was like, oh no, I don't eat any fat. I don't eat cheese.
Well, Bloomingdale's, that's probably.
And, you know, finally the pendulum has swung. We know we have embraced cheese again, thank God.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the things I learned in launching the Cheese Vault was that Americans eat 27 pounds of cheese a year.
Really?
So that's 8 ounces of cheese. I mean, some of it is pizza cheese, of course.
And some of it's Velveeta.
Right, of course. But that's still a lot of cheese.
That's a lot of cheese. That's good.
Yeah, it is good.
That is.
Hopefully we can get it up even higher.
Yes, we need to do that. And now, I wasn't going to do this, but I think I just have to. We're going to hear a classic romp about cheese from Monty Python. It's Monty Python. How can you resist when you're talking about cheese? We'll be back in a few minutes. Enjoy this.
I was sitting in the public library in Sermon Street just now, skimming through Rogue Harry's by Horace Walpole, when I suddenly came over all peckish.
Peckish, eh?
Esurient.
Eh?
Yabber-all-oldy-like.
Ah, hungry.
In a nutshell, so I thought to myself, a little fermented curd will do the trick. So I curtailed my wall-polling activities, sallied forth and infiltrated your place of purveyance to negotiate the vending of some cheesy comestibles.
Come again?
I want to buy some cheese!
Oh! I thought you were complaining about the music.
Oh, heaven forbid, I'm one who delights in all manifestations of the Terpsichorean muse.
Sorry?
I like a nice dance, you forced him.
Anyway, who said that?
Now, my good man, some cheese, please.
Yes, certainly, sir. What would you like?
Well, how about a little Red Leicester?
I'm afraid we're fresh out of Red Leicester, sir.
Never mind. How are you on Tilsit?
Never at the end of the week, sir. Always get it fresh first thing on Monday.
Tish, tish. No matter. Well, 4 ounces of Caerphilly, then, if you please, stout yeoman.
Ah, well, it's been on order for 2 weeks, sir. I was expecting it this morning.
Yes, it's not my day, is it? Belpaese?
Sorry.
Red Windsor?
Normally, sir, yes. But today the van broke down.
Stilton?
Sorry.
Gruyere, Emmental?
No.
Any Norwegian Jarlsberger?
No.
Liptauer?
No.
Lancashire?
No.
White Stilton?
No.
Danish Blue?
No.
Double Gloucester?
No.
Cheshire?
No.
Any Dorset Blue Vinny?
No.
Brie, Roquefort, Pont l'Evêque, Port-Salut, Savoyard, Saint-Paulin, Carré de l'Est, Boursin, Brest Bleu, Pelle de Champagne, Camembert.
Ah, we do have some Camembert.
You
sir.
Do? Excellent.
It's a bit runny, sir.
Oh, I like it runny.
Well, as a matter of fact, it's very runny, sir.
No matter, no matter. Hand over la fromage de la belle France qui s'appelle Camembert, s'il vous plaît.
I think it's runnier than you like it, sir.
I don't care how excrementally runny it is. Hand it over with all speed.
Yes, sir. Oh!
What?
The cat's eaten it.
Has he?
She, sir.
Gouda?
No.
Edam?
No.
Caithness?
No.
Smoked Austrian?
No.
Sage Derby?
No, sir.
You do have some cheese, do you?
Oh, certainly, sir. It's a cheese shop, sir. We've got...
No, don't tell me. I'm keen to guess.
Fair enough.
Winsleydale.
Yes, sir?
Splendid. Well, I'll have some of that then, please.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I thought you were referring to me. Mr. Winsleydale.
Gorgonzola?
Yeah.
Parmesan?
Yeah.
Mozzarella?
Yeah.
Pippo creme?
Yeah.
Any Danish Finbo?
Yeah.
Czechoslovakian sheep's milk cheese?
No.
Venezuelan beaver cheese?
Not today, sir, no.
Well, let's keep it simple. How about cheddar?
Well, I'm afraid we don't get much call for it around these parts, sir.
Much call? It's the single most popular cheese in the world.
Not around these parts, sir.
And pray, what is the most popular cheese round these parts?
Ilchester, sir.
I see.
Yes, sir, it's quite staggeringly popular in the manor, squire.
Is it?
Yes, sir, it's our number one seller.
Is it?
Yes, sir.
Ilchester, eh?
Right.
Okay, I'm game. Have you got any, he asked, expecting the answer no.
I'll have a look, sir. No.
It's not much of a cheese shop, really, is it?
Finest in the district, sir.
And what leads you to that conclusion?
Well, it's so clean.
Well, it's certainly uncontaminated by cheese.
You haven't asked me about Limburger, sir.
Is it worth it?
Could be.
Okay. Have you got...
Will you shut that bloody dancing up?
I told you so.
Have you got any Limburger?
No.
No, that figures. No, it's pretty predictable, really. It was an act of pure optimism to pose the question in the first place. Tell me something. Do you have any cheese at all?
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm going to ask you that question once more. And if you say no, I'm going to shoot you through the head. Now, do you have any cheese at all?
No.
What a senseless waste of human life.
It was so nice to hear and see that again.
Definitely.
It had been a long time. Okay, I'm still just like blissed out over your cheeses. They're really delicious.
Well, thank you.
What sort of price range?
Our cheeses range in retail price from the $18 to $19 a pound up to, depending on the store, they can be as high as $36.
Okay, yeah. It's like... One example I always use is St. George from Joe Mattis. If you go to the little cheese factory on Todd Road or Yano Road, just south of Todd, I think the current price is $7.50 a pound. When I started shopping there, it was $2.75 a pound. But you get it, I think somewhere between $7.25 and $7.75 a pound. I've seen it in cheese shops as high as $29.95 a pound. Mm-hmm. And I'm really, really glad they're doing well. For a long time, nearly all of their sales were through the mail, through UPS, to the Portuguese community in Northern California. Yeah. And then Cowgirl Creamery discovered them. And you started seeing them in a variety of places. Mm-hmm. But if you live in Sonoma County, it's really easy to pop over there and, you know, give the money directly to them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Nicasio is a great place to visit. Where in relationship to the big, huge downtown Nicasio are you?
We're about a quarter mile, I guess you would call it, I want to say west of the town square. We're between the town square and the school.
Okay.
On the right.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, hard to miss if you go out that way.
Yeah.
It would be coming back, either coming from Petaluma, you'd see us before the town square, or if you're heading towards Petaluma, you'd see us before you saw the school.
It's cool. Yeah, and it really is. And I love it. I love driving through there in the spring.
Yeah, gorgeous.
After a rain. But the sun has come out, and especially if you can go early in the morning, because the road, so many tree branches, you know, sort of shade the road. And sometimes if the sunlight is coming through exactly the right way, it bounces off all of the little droplets of water. It's just one of the most magical places in the Bay Area, I think.
Yeah. We're very fortunate. It's a beautiful area.
Yeah. And you're open 10 to 5 daily.
Daily, yes. 10 to 5 daily, except for Christmas and Thanksgiving. Uh-huh. We're closed.
And do you sell anything other than your cheeses in the shop?
We do sell a variety of locally made, you know, like jams and jellies, and mm-hmm. then also local crackers. We have, you know, some other kind of complimentary items to cheese, you know, uh-huh. and between Rustic Bakery and other
forms. Oh, you sell rustic bread?
We do. And then we have, the famous bakery in Point Reyes? We have their bread as well, the baguettes, and then you know, waters and drinks and stuff like that.
Sort of
thing. pretty general, uh-huh. you know.
So you can stop by there. You can get yourself a bunch of things for a nice little picnic.
You could, yes.
One thing we haven't talked about with the cheese vaults and the cheese caps. Well, a couple things. I know that they have lots of cheese vaults at Cultivate Home in Sebastopol. And we got to get them on because, you know, they just expanded.
Oh, I haven't.
I don't know if you knew that.
Right, no, I didn't.
What they did was they opened up this very large storage area in the back, and they're calling it the coop.
Oh, cool.
And it might be the clearance coop. It might be the class coop. They're going to do, and I haven't seen it yet because I haven't been able to get around, mm-hmm. but I will this week. So they're going to be doing a number of things there.
Oh, great.
And so I think it's an exciting thing both for Cultivate Home and for Sebastopol. It's really a great cookware store. And they have been selling a lot of your cheese vaults.
Absolutely. Absolutely, they have. And Freestone Cheese Lisa, Shop. You know,
I asked Omar if he could be on tonight, and he mm-hmm. couldn't make it.
Right. But, you know, he embraced the cheese vaults very early on when we were on our way back from Point Reyes Farmstead. I think we gave him his first four out of the trunk of the car. and he's gone on to sell a lot.
And I noticed them in Oliver's Market.
They are in some of the Olivers, not all of the Olivers, but
certainly Stony Point yes.
absolutely, and in Windsor. And I think they might be over in the Rincon Valley uh-huh. one as well. Yeah, so, yeah, they've been doing well. And you know, some other...
Dry Creek General Store?
That's right, Dry Creek General Store, uh-huh. definitely. They did a custom one, so theirs is uh-huh. red. We have them in five colors.
Oh, what five? Because right here we have a burnt orange and a white.
Right, and then we have... And the burnt orange is our number one, and the white is our number two. So,
okay.
But we also have a yellow we call butter, because it's kind of a European butter color. Uh-huh. And we have a green that we're actually temporarily out of stock on.
Uh-huh.
Should be in about a week or so. And... And the last color is a biscuit color. We call biscuit. It's kind of a cracker color.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, those are the five colors. But at Drake Creek General Store, they have a really nice burnt red color.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
And then what about Kappa Bunga and Kappa Bubbles?
Well, Kappa Bunga and Kappa Bubbles have wider distribution because they've been around a longer uh-huh. time. Kappa Bunga is sold at a lot of local wineries. And, yeah, Kappa Bubbles, same thing.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And your website?
Website is kappabunga.com. So that's CAPABUNGA.com.
And Nicasio Cheese website?
www.nicasiocheese.com.
It's great. And you can also go online to Artisan Cheese Festival and get all the details. Maybe I'll see you there. And on that note, we're out of time, aren't we?
Yes.
Thanks very much, Anthony. And thanks to you. See you here next Sunday for another yummy episode of Mouthful, smart talk about food, wine, and farming with Michelle Anna Jordan here on KRCB Radio 91. Have a great week. I am the hand that rocks the cradle.